But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I am the greatest.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Say hello to my little friend.
I'm going to make him an offer again.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies close.
Welcome to Mental Distortion.
Mental Distortion, welcome back, episode 11. Today I'm lucky enough to be sipping on a nice cup of coffee. Stumptown Roasters, a nice bourbon blend. If you haven't had the opportunity to get yourself some nice Stumptown beans, I would highly recommend it. That's definitely a weird tick about me. You know, if I'm at your house and you offer me shitty beer, I can handle it. Yeah, bottom shelf liquor, not a problem. If you offer me shitty coffee in the morning, that's where I draw the line. I'm usually a craft coffee consumer. However, I do slum it with Starbucks most of the time. That could be due to the fact that I drink my coffee black. I think a lot of people that I know that drink shit coffee fill up their coffee with creamer and additives. I myself enjoy a nice cup of medium roasted beans. Enough wasted time. Let's get to the point. Let's get to the episode for today. Brainstorming for my next topic, one stuck out in my mind like a fire raging in the middle of a pitch black desert. Charm. I've lived my entire life with the notion that it doesn't matter what other people think of me. I've burned bridges, lost good friends, and made horrible life choices with that mentality. Today, I would like to focus on another way of thinking, another way of living. Top salesmen and women have mastered the art of charm. Can you recall someone you have in your life who can make anyone feel comfortable? They can make anyone smile. Their charisma doesn't come across as being over the top. This is not a genetic trait. This is a skill that must be learned and practiced. Like many of life's most important tools, it must be used often to be kept sharp. Imagine everybody had a ballot box on their body. Every conversation, every interaction, every movement made was reviewed and documented. Then all of the documents from the week would be calculated then scored. What would your scores be for today? Wouldn't you agree your daily interactions would go smoother if everyone was giving you 5 stars instead of 1 star? These mechanics could be applied to everything in life. A doctor's visit, review at work, traffic stop, loan application at the bank. Now, I'm not claiming this is a magical mind control tool that will enable you to rule the world. However, I do think it would benefit a majority of people across the board, help them to achieve their goals and targets that they have plotted. It was astounding to me when I looked at some of the tips. I could be the model that this doctor needed for his anti-column. Chris, the anti-charismatic common man. Before I could even finish reading the article, I couldn't help but smile. I am literally the opposite of everything in this article. I will use my daily route as a great example. Two things in my life are guaranteed, unless it is a holiday or a snow day. It doesn't matter what madness this world or my personal life has presented me with. Twice a day, I leave my house with my son, in the morning to take him to school, in the afternoon to pick up the little bastard. In the morning, we chat all the way to school, maybe wrestle a little bit. We check for our friend, a lone seagull who has stayed in Portland for the winter. He likes to spend his mornings across the street from our house at a local park. On a good day, we see him twice. On a bad day, we never see the white seabird searching through the soaked blades of grass. I assume he is looking for insects or worms for his meals. However, I am not a certified OBGYN. He could be a reincarnation of Michael Jackson, doing his best to lure my son Gage to his new Neverland Ranch, which just happens to be across the street from my house in Portland, Oregon. As we make our way to his school, we pass a few clusters of people. Three of them, I can plan on passing every trip, and I go out of my way to acknowledge them. One is a father who cycles with his son, rain or shine. Every day, they are next to each other on bikes. Father and I always look at each other. We look at each other's kids. We exchange meaningless nods. I have zero idea who this guy is. I guess I have compartmentalized him as a worthy one for my extremely valuable and rare nods due to the fact that he is teaching his child the value of daily cardio. I imagine that child will remember riding with his father to school for his entire life, long after his father has passed away. Imagine if all of my daily interactions were based on that mentality. How could I ever get anything done? Nice to meet you, Bob. Before we start this loan process, please tell me more about your cardio game. I couldn't help but notice you are packing on an extra 40 pounds. Obviously, this method would be a complete failure. It would be a horrible way to show my son how to live his life in the future. My second guaranteed interaction is with a Pacific Islander of some sort who lives next to his school. We always wave and smile from the opposite sides of the road. It is almost forced at this point. She could be a leftover lawn decoration from a summer luau, for all I know. I have no idea if she even speaks English. She could be a serial cat killer, and I wouldn't know the difference. I do know one thing for sure. She does not fit my criteria for my first nod. Smart Money says she has not rode a bike or hiked a hill in over 15 years. For some reason, my mind has opened the communication gates partially for another nod and smile. If I was forced to give an answer on why she is not worthy, I would say it has to do with my life living in the Bay Area. At a previous job, I was friends with a few Islanders. They all felt very approachable and genuine to me. The third and final nod for my trips are a set of neighbors we have. They live 20 houses down the block. This is the oddest nod of all for me. This lady is married, walks with two kids. I have zero idea what her name is. I know she doesn't listen to words that are being spoken to her very well. Either that or she just didn't catch my sarcastic wit. One random Friday, a kid just popped up next to myself and Gage on our walk home. Third or fourth grade, he hovered over our conversation like a drone for a couple of blocks before he cleared his throat and introduced himself. Turns out, he is one of her kids. He explained his older brother goes to school across town, and he wished to walk with us on Fridays. For those of you who do not know me very well, this type of behavior is pretty much accepted in my life. I'm the poster boy for being informal. The walk home is pretty cake. It's straightforward. The only obstacle is near the King of Pop Seagull, a very busy street that does not have a crosswalk. It is like playing the lottery twice a day. Some days I win both times. Other days we are stuck waiting for the long line of suburban pollution makers to clear the way. The street is busy enough that I have yet to let my son venture across on his own. If a ball bounces across from our yard, it is a two-person trip. That says a lot about the street. I trust my son Gage to do almost anything on his own at this point. The other day, his mother approached me and explained the situation. During her ramble, I said something along the lines of no worries and ensured her life was good. I always had that direction anyway. In my mind, this is a possible ally for my younger son to see at school. It would help him in his daily interactions. During our brief conversation, we didn't exchange names. We didn't speak of anything of great importance. She did mention that she was really worried about her son crossing the busy street. I used this time to be myself, and I said, some days, I run to the other side first, and I let my son cross on his own. It was obvious she wasn't listening, as she said, okay, that sounds great. I can't explain why I am the way that I am. My best guess is my mind attempts to calculate good people or bad people. However, its mechanism in doing so is incredibly flawed. It is also possible that I've had so many bad experiences with strangers that I have found a way to turn off my nod machine at times, some sort of evolved defense mechanism. Whatever the reasoning may be, I found myself looking for tips how to better charm people. We as humans have some common traits in our minds. We naturally want to like people or objects if the waves are translated as safe or positive to our minds. Growing up in middle school or high school, for that matter, think back to all the possible relationships that were skipped because of looks. When you were riding the bus in third grade, would you rather sit next to the kid who smelled like a rotten fish and always wore the same shirt, or the kid who had the newest toys and smelled like $1,000? Scent is a main bullet point. You don't have to clear the room with your favorite perfume or cologne, but science has proven we are driven towards people or items that smell good. Stay in that middle school mind frame, as immature as it sounds now. Who was chasing the ugly chicks around the swing set? Chances are the young girls that were having the most fun were the future cheerleaders or volleyball players. These girls could have said anything and still had boys chasing them. They could have subscribed to the notion that the world was definitely flat and gravity was a hoax. Meanwhile, Princess Fiona was on the jungle gym rolling her eyes, holding a future cure for cancer. Nobody was chasing the Fionas. This is something that I have moved past. However, I have did my best to explain the ugly duckling to my child. Looks will always fade. For those of you basing your life choices on vanity, have fun over the next 30 years when hips and joints start to fail. Then we can revisit that theory of gravity. Physical attraction plays a very minor part in the role of charm, totaling only 20 to 30% to a fully developed human brain. People are attracted to passion, confidence, and personality. across the board, these are the metrics that the mind looks for during the search for a connection. Our brains are equipped with mirror neurons. They want to mimic what is presented to them. So if you want someone to be happy, try smiling. Don't overdo it. The goal is not to walk around looking like Uncle Jack from The Shining. Just be genuine and wear a smile as you listen. A smile is so powerful, the brain can sense it over a phone by the change of tone and vocals. Keeping open body language is important as well. Uncross your arms, keep eye contact, and take your hands out of your pocket. For whatever the reason, our brain seems to trust people when we can see their hands. Looking back at a ton of my photos, you can always find my hands buried deep within my pockets. Two words to help you on this journey, how and why. This is going to be the hardest part for some of you out there. Try it today. Sit down with somebody. Listen to stories about their day. Ask those two questions during the conversation. If your pie hole can't stand the silence and needs to break free, when you do speak, try to share something similar about yourself that correlates to their story. This will show them that you are listening and that you are relatable. Let yourself become fascinated with what they are sharing. This will help you listen and respond. Lastly, dress for the occasion. If it is a hike, don't wear a suit. If it is a wedding, don't show up with your Gore-Tex camo pants and sleeveless shirt. These are easy tips. Hopefully you can apply some of them to your life today. Thank you for joining me, Mental Distortion.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.